You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In 2022, Sacramento voters approved Measure L, which created a children's fund for youth most impacted by poverty, violence, and trauma. The money is tied to the city's cannabis business tax revenue. Nearly 2 years since that measure passed, it finally crossed a major hurdle to get that funding into motion. The city council passed the first spending plan, and soon organizations and agencies can start applying to use that money for youth programs. Measure L is now more commonly called the Sacramento Children's Fund, and the funding is overseen by a 9-person advisory committee in partnership with the city's Youth Advisory Commission. And some of its members are joining us now with more on where things stand. Monica Ruelas Mares is the chair of the Sacramento Children's Fund Planning and Oversight Commission. Shannon Williams is also a commissioner as well. And Reyes Rios is a member of the Sacramento Youth Coalition. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for making the time. Okay, so when it comes to measures, I know for myself as a voter, all the letters can kind of get muddled together once the election has passed. You're like, oh, did I vote on that before? Whatever happened with that measure? So I think it's important to start, Monica, with the history of Measure L, because there have also been previous attempts to pass something similar in past elections. It didn't pass. But what led to Measure L?
Well, I mean, in the city of Sacramento, there's always been kind of this huge youth grassroots coalition and folks really on the ground understanding that young people of every generation were obviously going to grow up in a community that needed to invest in them. And so back in 2016 was kind of the first attempt at a youth fund at the city level. And then there was a second attempt in 2020. Most folks might remember it, Measure G. And then after that was not successful, we really kind of broadened our coalition. We had closer relationships with the current elected officials at the time, and as well as the local unions who supported the measure and the fire union as well. So it grew from being kind of like this really grassroots coalition to kind of this larger kind of coalition that really embodied, I think, the landscape of Sacramento politically as well.
And within that time period, I remember reporting on there was a period of time, I believe before the pandemic, from like 2018 to 2020, when the city really made these big strides and they actually had zero youth homicides for a couple years. And then unfortunately, that changed after the pandemic for a myriad of reasons that we don't have to get into. But do you think that that actually contributed to the will of voters approving Measure L back in 2022?
I mean, yeah, I'd like to think so. I think especially with the, developments of COVID-19 and the racial reckoning during that summer after the murder of George Floyd, I want to believe that people's perception of safety, both in our city as well as the opportunities for young people growing up here, really changed. And folks started to understand that Sacramento, yes, we love the city, but there are some deeply rooted issues with historically how our districts have been set up and how, our low-income communities tend to be in specific districts. And so, yeah, I mean, I want to believe that people started to understand that better, and that did contribute to the success of the measure in 2022.
And you're the chair of the Planning and Oversight Commission for Measure L funds. What does a commission like yours do?
Well, we are an advisory commission, but we are tasked with creating the strategic investment plan for the fund itself. So I, with Dr. Shannon Williams, as well as our other fellow commissioners, we really tried to work together with kind of a tight timeline in order to bring a plan forward to the city council for approval. And so we kind of gathered all of our expertise, both sort of like grassroots community, academia, passion and love for young people in our city. And we tried to bring that all together to put forward an investment plan that essentially identifies strategies on how to invest the funds in an equitable way.
All right, Shannon. Well, you had to apply for this to become one of the commissioners for this planning and oversight. Why did you want to be part of this?
Thank you. Well, my day job is I'm the executive director for the Institute for Social Research here at Sac State. We work a lot with state and local agencies as a research partner. One of these projects was doing community listening sessions in high gun violence neighborhoods here in Sacramento. And one of the recommendations that we heard was these residents really wanted services for their youth. They felt that that was going to be a key factor in preventing violence. So I was really personally moved by some of these stories. Particularly, there was a young man, he's probably about 15, and he had an ankle bracelet and had a lanyard with someone who had, one of his friends who had died. And what he asked one of the community leaders kind of haunts me. And he said, how did you get out? How did you get out of this? And, you know, the kid was just, he just wanted a lifeline. He just wanted some sort of other options than what his was immediately in front of him. And so, you know, as a public citizen, that's why I'm doing this. I really want to make sure that youth like this young man who are most impacted by violence, trauma, and poverty get the supports they need.
Yeah, I mean, that clearly seemed to be a formative experience for you.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Reyes, that brings me to you. This affects you and your peers. You're part of the Sacramento Youth Coalition. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what drew you to wanting to be a part of city government in this capacity.
Yes, so I'm the chair of the Sacramento Youth Commission. And it's a commission similar to the Planning and Oversight Commission, which Monica serves as the chair on. I go to Leroy Green Academy. I'm 15 years old and a sophomore. What initially propelled me to join public service and getting involved in my community started at home. And it's the same with many people. Growing up, you see certain gaps, whether it's educational gaps, financial gaps, language barriers, that you feel inclined to address. Instead of sitting there and being a bystander, a lot of us learn about being a bystander in school. And so just taking the initiative, standing up and addressing these gaps, what is going to be best for the future? What is going to be best for the future of society? Youth are not only the leaders of tomorrow, but the leaders of today, too. And so, like was brought up earlier, Sacramento has one of the most involved youth in the state of California, and just empowering that voice and making sure that the voice of youth is heard.
Yeah, and it's not just your voice that you're sharing when talking to the city council or advisory committees. I mean, you're also sharing the perspective of your peers. You're talking to your friends, you're talking to your classmates, you're talking to your community. When it comes to Measure L funding and how it's meant to help youth who are often left behind and are most impacted by poverty, violence, and trauma, what do you learn from your peers about how they would like this funding to be spent?
Exactly. So I'm a part of ASB at my school, and so I have a lot of connections with getting involved with the youth at my school. In addition to that, community events with the Sacramento Youth Commission. We go out to different high schools, talk to youth there, and just getting their perspective. Youth, from a distance, sometimes they can seem like you can't talk to them. They're very closed off. But when you bring up issues that are issues that everyone faces and issues especially that youth face, they're not quiet anymore and they understand that their voice matters. And so reaching out to youth, getting involved in their communities, going out to them, because sometimes it's not as easy for them to come out to you. So just really, really getting involved and hearing what they want.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Monica, for voters who need a refresher, how will Measure L funding work? It is tied in some way, what is tied to business tax revenue from the cannabis industry in the city. But how much money are we talking about and how will it be dispersed?
Yeah, so we're talking about anywhere between $8 to $9 million annually. And because the strategic investment plan that we put forward, I mean, we're talking about $45 million over 5 years. So, you know, what happened in 2020 after voters passed Measure L was a planning process, really. And so you vote for something and part of that, you know, measure and that ballot measure, there's a charter. And the charter essentially outlines what the process would be moving forward. So the process was for the city of Sacramento to establish a 9-member commission, which we are a part of. And then after that, we would have joint meetings with the youth commission, which Reyes is a part of. And so there was a lot of process involved in getting to where we are now. And so that's why 2 years later, we have this, strategic investment plan that was now passed by the city council. And the idea is that within the next couple of days, actually, the city would be releasing the RFP request for proposals for entities that would want to apply. And from what I understand with the city's current process is that they would be releasing the application for a minimum of 30 days. And there would also be a opportunity for folks to ask questions via an online bidders conference. And if folks are interested in learning more about that, there is going to be, you know, updates, I think, on the city's website. The Children's Fund itself is housed under the Youth Parks and Community Enrichment Department. So, yeah, the landing page for the department is where you can also find information about Measure L.
Okay, so in a couple days when this process opens up, people, organizations, even some agencies, even potentially individuals can apply saying, hey, I want to use this funding. And then they have to explain how they would use this funding to help the youth that are most impacted by poverty, trauma, and violence, and then it has to go through an approval process to see if they can actually get that funding.
Yes, absolutely. So with the strategic investment plan, we really kind of laid out the framework, I would say, for the rubric that would then be used for people who apply. So for example, in the strategic investment plan, we recommended that the city prioritize cross-cutting strategies, which means that even though there are five goals outlined in the measure, that if an entity were to apply and say they meet like two to three goals within their programming, that those would be prioritized. A couple of other strategies we wanted to include in there, you know, were around youth violence prevention, mental health as well, and early childhood and substance abuse prevention.
Shannon, I mean, I go back to that experience that you had with a youth who just wanted to get out of the situation that they were in and felt helpless. You know, can you help us visualize how this funding could benefit youth like the one that you heard from?
Right. Thank you. I think that what we're hoping for is for community-based organizations as well as public agencies can address the needs of youth by providing comprehensive resources. So that could be mental health supports, but it could be providing a positive adult in their life, mentorship, providing workforce development, providing other types of resources that are going to help children and youth, you know, really reach their fullest potential. I think we've also set aside 20% of the funds for those foster youth or youth transitioning out of foster care. And I think that's really important because we wanted to look at who are the most vulnerable in our community. And what we know is that foster youth are more likely to be justice involved. They're more likely to be trafficked. They're more likely to have mental health issues. And so, I mean, if you just think of the last point in time count on homeless folks, they did a survey and one in four of the folks who are unhoused had had some experience with foster care. So we know that we really want to funnel support to this population. And so we're really excited that 20% of the funds will go to a guaranteed income program for these kids.
So there's a wide net of what this funding can be applied to. I mean, I think back to that time period of 2018 and 2020, I remember reporting on there were these pop-ups within the city of Sacramento that were free for the community. It was a safe space. It was a free space. You could go ice skating or go bowling. And I think those services really provide an outlet, especially on, you know, a Friday night. You know, it gives you something safe and free and affordable to do. Reyes, when you think about this funding and you think about you and your peers and how you want it to help, you know, what would you like this money to go towards when you try to visualize, you know, what services could be provided?
Right. And it's called a strategic investment plan for a reason. Everything is so strategically placed out to give money to. The five focus areas are so influential for the future of youth. They affect all the lives of youth, and the future is so bright with these focus areas. Stuff that I've seen in the past and stuff that I've experienced before, community business organizations are so, so impactful. They have extremely close relationships with youth all across Sacramento, and they can read youth like no other. The city of Sacramento, they do great work, but it is the whole city, and they are representing the whole city, while community business organizations are directly in the communities of youth, talking with youth. And youth oftentimes have more of a friend in these organizers of community business organizations rather than they do employees of the city. And so I would just really like to see focus on mental health, violence, substance abuse, youth, and just youth in general and the future of youth.
Awesome. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're getting an update on Measure L, which Sacramento voters approved back in 2022. And it creates a city children's fund for youth most impacted by poverty, violence, and trauma. I'm speaking with Monica Ruelas-Mares and Shannon Williams, who are members of its Planning and Oversight Commission, as well as Reyes Rios with the Sacramento Youth Coalition. When it comes to the funding for Measure L, it is protected and voters approved it. But also that can be open to interpretation. And our Sacramento government reporter here at CAP Radio, Kristen Lamb, reported a few weeks ago when the city approved this plan that there was some disagreement about how the funding could be spent. You know, for example, some council members wanted to use the Sacramento Children's Fund, Measure L funding, for delayed maintenance on park services. I'm just curious, if you've been able to work out this strategic plan and been having these conversations, what have been the challenges of appropriately designating this funding?
I think that'll definitely come at the next phase of the overall implementation of the Children's Fund, because we as a commission have put forward our plan for the strategies that we recommend. The city council then made some amendments to the plan. But overall, I think the integrity of the plan stayed the same. I do want to call attention to, and I want to mention the importance of equity in this conversation, because as the city does move, you know, just this past Tuesday, moving forward with a racial equity resolution in one of their personnel and public employee committees, that'll later come to the entire city council. And that also has implications for the Children's Fund. And I want to say that because when we talk about how money should be invested in and the recommendations that we made as a commission, we did it in a way, and like Reyes mentioned, that was very strategic. We included maps that go based off of data that the city has to identify those target neighborhoods and target populations of youth that would benefit the most, youth that have been historically marginalized and underserved. And so the city is going to have to go through its RFP process. It has to be an open, competitive, and transparent process. And in terms of which city services or city investments they will make, I think they will still have to make the case throughout the bidding process how that really touches and impacts youth directly that are, the most marginalized youth.
Right, because Measure L funding, it's not meant to be divided up evenly between each district necessarily. It's meant for the youth who are most vulnerable, and that depends on which district and what areas they live in, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think that investing in youth is good for the entire city. It's not a regional or a, you know, district by district. And I think you can just look at some examples. We know that violence has impacts beyond the person who's perpetrating that and the victims. It's right now we're looking at violence as a public health crisis because it has community impact. So just for example, in my district, District 4, there's been a big push to increase, to develop the downtown and to really kind of infuse some economic resources, particularly since after COVID, there was a lot of, you know, businesses go out of business, whatever. But if you look at, you know, in 2022, we had a mass shooting outside of the pretty close to Golden One Center. And the reverberation of that violence not only has personal and really profound impacts, but it also has economic impacts. And so I would like to just pretty much lift up the fact that this money is going to support Sacramento as a whole and the city and the well-being and really making sure that all children and all youth are being able to positively contribute to the city.
And I also remembered following that mass shooting in downtown, which mm-hmm. understandably received a lot of coverage. You also had community organizations and people who live in other districts that are most impacted by gun violence and see it on a more regular basis. Right. And they criticize how much attention it received in downtown because it happened in downtown as opposed to happening in neighborhoods where, quote, you know, where people expect it to happen. And so this funding is meant to help youth who live in those areas. And if you're a voter who approved this, maybe you have some concerns that will the original intention of this funding be fulfilled? Right. How can you assure voters that that funding is going to go in the direction that it was intended to go in.
I'm definitely someone who believes in, you know, the process of policy and implementation. And I think, you know, in order to restore that trust in our local system in particular, it is about folks like us getting involved on commissions. And, you know, this is, I guess, a call out to any of the listeners is like, there are commission seats open at the city. There's actually a current vacancy in our commission, Planning Oversight Commission.
In District 2, correct?
In District 2, yeah. So for me, the ultimate kind of marker of can we trust that this money is going to go where it is intended to go based on what we voted, voters across the city, is that we need to be involved in the process, right? Because we know and we understand that historically the system has been operating under kind of, you know, business as usual. And so if that hasn't benefited the communities that have been most marginalized and underserved, well, we need to actually be a part of that process to make sure we're holding each other accountable. And accountability to me isn't a negative thing. It's not an us or them and, you know, we're policing the city or whatnot. But it's more so that we can have a more collaborative relationship to ensure that those resources are going to the kids that need them the most.
Does it concern you that the city's facing a budget deficit, so there's less money to get essentially from one district to the next, and that we may even have another budget deficit next year in the city?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a resident, it's a concerning situation. I think that what we go back to is this money was set aside by the residents of Sacramento, and they realize that this is a priority and the money needs to go there. There are tons of needs out there that are not being funded. For example, there was a lot of discussion at the council meeting about deferred park maintenance. Absolutely. We 100% support that. But this money is not for that. And so I think it could be a rallying cry for residents to be involved and say, here are our priorities for the budget. We know there's not enough money to go around. But the Measure L money is specific for children and youth that are most impacted.
Well, finally, I want to end with you, Reyes. What have you learned about this entire process? I mean, you have a seat at the table. You are part of the Youth Coalition. You've also seen this actually kind of shake out. And as people are determining how to spend this funding, what have you learned most about this?
What I'll say is that what I've learned mostly is that the future is bright and that there is no dim light in sight. Life will only get better in Sacramento in this this plan, Measure L, really, really just makes that succeed. And so what I've learned mostly is that youth need a seat at the table, and they don't need to be seen to check a box. They don't need to be seen as youth. They need to be seen as partners. And so how we're going to move forward, especially affecting the problems of youth, is making sure that those youth are seen as partners and that they're seen as equal, like I said, equal partners. How are we going to move forward if we do not see each other equally? The same as in the world, equality is so important. So that is, it applies the same with youth.
Well, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Monica Ruelas-Martis is the chair of the Sacramento Children's Fund Planning and Oversight Commission. Shannon Williams is also a commissioner. And Reyes Rios is a member of the Sacramento Youth Coalition. They've been updating us on Measure L, which voters approved back in 2022 and creates a city children's fund for youth most impacted by poverty, violence, and trauma. The city will host an online conference of Measure L if you want more information. And the commission will also have information sessions sometime next month. We have a link to Measure L on the city's website that you can find on our Insight page. Still ahead, if you've been to Trader Joe's, you have likely been frustrated with finding parking. Not once, maybe twice, maybe a lot more. Cap Radio reporters did a little digging at one location in Sacramento, and they helped solve the mystery behind the gridlock. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.